You gave them their eye color and hair and skin color, their height and shoe size, their abilities, their talents, their personalities. From the time they've been toddlers, you've been speaking to them, inviting them into a deep and abiding friendship with you, wanting them to be joyful and confident in the one-of-a-kind self you made each of them to be. Thank you for the strength you've given them to grow and to absorb your love through parents, teachers, the natural world, music and the arts, mentors of all kinds. Now pour out on them another larger measure of your spirit. Let them know the rush and fire of your spirit that sets them free to be fully themselves and no other. Help them discover and develop their talents in order to spread the lavishly good news that you are for us all and that you are love. For our graduates, together we sing.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on them.
And now, will our vision team members please stand? Oh God, you who are all wisdom, you have guided each of us and all of us as a community, going before us to open the way when there seemed to be no way, only a red sea or a desert or a rock wall on every side. Thank you for the leaders you have provided, Monroe Community Church. Scouts who have gone ahead to see and prepare for the rest of us the way you are opening. We thank you for these newly chosen members of our vision team members and those who continue to serve. We ask that you will truly give them all vision, vision beyond their limited personal capacity. Pour out on them a new measure of your spirit so that their vision is truly holy. Their words and their actions not in the service of themselves or personal preference or profit, but in service of spreading through the worship and work of this faith community the devastatingly good news that you are for us all and that you are love. For our vision team members, together we sing.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on them.
And now will everyone stand? Oh God, you are God of all of us. You have made us for each other, for relationship. We come to know who you are through our life together. We know you through the generosities, the kindnesses, the compassion we've received here at Monroe Community Church. And we've learned to call on you through the disagreements we've had and the hurts that have been inflicted here. We've learned by the example of our saints here how not to run away from conflict, how to sacrifice our pride and give up our petty self-interest for the sake of the community's well-being. We've not always done this well, and sometimes we've failed outright. Pour out on all of us, your people committed to each other here at Monroe, a larger measure of your spirit, so that we can live together as one, drenched in your love and offering your love to all we meet. For all of us, your people gathered here at Monroe, we sing.
Spirit of the living God.
Amen. You can be seated.
We pray for these children as they head downstairs, and we already explained what they do, but the reason we pray for them is we believe that the Holy Spirit is not just present up here, but the Holy Spirit is also present down there through the words and actions of the teachers, in the hearts of these children. And so today, as they go to children's ministry, we pray for them. Join me. Dear God, we thank you for these children, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will open up their ears and their hearts to hear what you have to say to them today. that your Spirit will continue to guide and direct them every day of their lives. And Lord, we pray the same thing for the big people here too, that as we hear your word, your Spirit will live in us, it will grow in us, and it will guide everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace. If you would like a Bible today, there's a stack right by the pole back there. You're welcome to stand up and get one. We'll be looking at a number of passages from God's Word today. So I don't really know very much about sailing, but it's on my bucket list. On my bucket list is learn how to sail. In fact, I would like to learn to sail, not a huge sailboat, but something about like this, something that we borrowed from our neighbor this weekend. I'd love to learn how to sail. Last week, I was with Henry John in his sixth grade class. We went out to the West Bay in Traverse City, where we sailed on a schooner. We were out there to do some water quality testing for the state of Michigan. And the students on the boat were able to look at zooplankton under a microscope, which was so cool, by the way. All these little zooplankton swimming around there, which, by the way, is where we get our oxygen from. It's just amazing. Anyway, so they got to learn about zooplankton, but they also got to learn about sailing. They got to raise the mast, which is not very easy, actually, on a really big schooner. It took about 12 of them to pull on these ropes and to raise that sail up. They got to learn about how the boat works, about how to sail the boat, about what it means to turn it two to port, right, or two to starboard. And it was just a great experience. So there the sixth graders are. We're in the middle of West Bay, Traverse City. The water is so clear. The day is absolutely beautiful, although just a little cold out there on the water. And the sixth graders all pulling on those ropes and raising the mast. And as soon as the sails, all three of them were raised, the wind catches the sails and we fly across the bay. There had been a class on the boat that morning as well, and they got to do the same things. They got to look at zooplankton under the microscope. They got to learn about sailing. They got to steer the ship. They got to raise the sails. But they didn't go anywhere. There was no wind that morning. So I don't know very much about sailing, but I do know this. Sailing requires two things, wind and sails. I've heard sailing teams tell stories about being in the middle of a big race and vying for important position, and the wind just stops. And these teams are out there in the middle of Lake Michigan at a loss. At a loss, just waiting for the wind to pick up. We are in the church calendar season that is ending Easter. And at the very end of Easter, we're remembering where we've come from. We've known that Jesus died on the cross. Jesus rose again from the dead, and in that period after he rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples and many other people. He taught them things. They knew that he rose from the dead, but then he came to his disciples and he said, I won't be here with you forever, for soon I am going to raise up into heaven. I'm going to ascend and be where my Father is, and I'm going to be with my Father at his right hand until one day I come back again. And in the meantime, Jesus gave them these instructions. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It was like Jesus' followers were ready to continue Jesus' ministry. They were ready to go out, but Jesus told them, just wait. Wait for a gift that will signal to you that God is still with you, even though Jesus had ascended to heaven. Wait, Jesus tells them. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come. The word spirit in the Bible is the same word as the word for wind. It's that word up at that top there, ruach. wind, spirit, or breath. And so when we see the word wind in the Bible, what we see is the spirit stirring. We see the spirit at work. Already in the very beginning, even before creation, Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2, we see that the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters, hovering over the deep. And the word for water and for deep there is the same word that's used for chaos. So here's the Spirit of God hovering over this chaos. The earth is formless. It is empty. And the Spirit is blowing over the chaos. And what happens? God speaks. The Spirit moves. And out of the chaos comes order, beauty, a very good creation. This creation doesn't stay very good, however, does it? For pretty soon, sin was so rampant that God, in His grief, sent a flood to cleanse the earth from evil. And the waters, they flooded the earth for 150 days. But then we read this in Genesis 8. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. So again, the Holy Spirit is present. He's present in the cleansing and the renewing of the earth. And the earth has a new, clean beginning. This is why Jesus told the church, wait for the Spirit. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come, to bring this cleansing, to bring this renewing. Wait for this gift that will empower your ministry. And so the followers of Jesus were in Jerusalem. They were waiting. Well, while they were in Jerusalem, they joined the other worshipers in the temple to celebrate the traditional Jewish festival of Shavuot, also called the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, because it took place 50 days after the Passover. Pentecost was the festival in which the Jews remembered God giving them the Torah, His instructions for how to live. Year after year, they would gather, everybody, come to Jerusalem. Let's remember that time that God gave our ancestors the law, that God told our ancestors, this is how you are to live. And so generation after generation, they came and they heard this story that we read about in Exodus 19. God comes. God meets His people out Mount Sinai, and this is what happens. It says, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in a fire. The smoke billowed up from it like a smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, go down, warn the people so they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them will perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them. For so holy is the Lord. Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up on Mount Sinai because you yourself warned us, put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not worship idols instead of me. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony.
you shall not covet. The people came together. They came together at Pentecost and remembered this holy, holy God on the mountain at Mount Sinai. And they told the stories they had heard from their great-great-grandfathers, who had heard them from their great-great-grandfathers, about the holiness of God. And God coming to his people that day and telling him how he wanted them to live. These Jewish people had an ancient Jewish tradition about what happened on that day in Mount Sinai, a tradition that goes beyond what we read about in the Bible. But listen to what it is. They said that when God came down to Mount Sinai, angels brought crowns of fire for every Israelite. And when God spoke, the divine voice divided itself into the 70 tongues of men so that all might understand it. All heard indeed the same words, but the same voice corresponding to the individuality of each. This was God's way of speaking with them. And as the same voice sounded differently to each one, so did the divine vision appear differently to each. This is the ancient Jewish tradition that was passed down again from generation to generation. This is what happened. This is what your ancestors experienced that day when God gave his way of living to his people. And so on Pentecost, the Jewish people gathered. They gathered together in the temple. They were worshiping. They were remembering this giving of the Torah. This ancient Jewish tradition was in their minds. And as they waited in Jerusalem for this gift to arrive that Jesus had promised, this is what happened from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" There they are, all gathered together. And then the wind blew. The wind comes through. The gift of the Spirit came. The Spirit that cleanses. The Spirit that heals, that renews, came. The Spirit that creates faith arrived. The Spirit that guides Jesus' followers to live as God wants them to live blew through and came to rest on each of them. The Spirit that had been present since before creation is now here among us in a more intimate and personal way to each of Jesus' followers. The reality is that the church is not sitting in a boat waiting for the wind to pick up. In the middle of a lake just wondering how in the world are we ever going to get home. The reality is that the wind is blowing. The Spirit has come. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus about 30 years after this day of Pentecost, and he says this.
He said to them and to us today, "And you who were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Because you heard this word, because you heard this, you are included in this, he says. "And having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as the one who rescued you from sin, you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. The wind is blowing. You do not have to wait. In fact, the reason that you believe is because the Holy Spirit was already working on your heart and in your life. The Holy Spirit was prompting you to notice the sin and the evil and the brokenness in the world, and the Holy Spirit was drawing you to faith in Jesus. The wind is already blowing. There's two things you need to sail. You need wind, but just because the wind is blowing and swirling, you're not going to get anywhere unless you have a sail. You need to raise the sails. In the 1800s, Charles Spurgeon gave a sermon on the Holy Spirit, and these are his words. He says, "We cannot rule the winds nor create them. A whole parliament of philosophers could not cause a capful of wind to blow. The sailor knows that he can neither stop the tempest nor raise it. What then? Does he sit still? By no means. He has all kinds of sails of different cuts and forms to enable him to use the every ounce of wind that comes. And he knows how to reef or furl them in case the tempest becomes too strong for him. Though he cannot control the movement of the wind, he can use what it pleases God to send. Thus, though we cannot command that which streams from the omnipotent Spirit of God, though we cannot turn it which way we will, for the wind bloweth where it listeth, yet we can make use of it. And in our inability to save men, we turn to God and lay hold of his power." Raising the sails allows the sails to be filled with the wind. It allows us to use the power of God that he has sent, this gift of God that he has given to people who believe. Raising the sails, capturing that wind. Cannot command that wind, he says. You can't control the movement of the wind. We can turn to God and lay hold of his power. In the same way, the Spirit that is the power that will move the church, this is the Spirit that will move the church forward in its ministry. It is the power that will fill our sails. It is the power that moves the Christian forward in their relationship to Jesus. It is the power that allows us to be more Christ-like, to again hear those words that God gave his people from Mount Sinai, and to live as he wants us to live. See, the wind is already there. But sometimes I think that too often churches are out in the water and they never put up their sail. And a sailboat without a sail is like an oversized raft. And how do we move a raft? You can try as you'd like, but you can all lean over and you can paddle and exert a ton of energy. But if the wind is going the wrong way or the waves are crashing, you might never get anywhere. So what does it mean to put up our sails? What does it mean to catch the power of the Holy Spirit? Back in Genesis 11, the people on earth had come together to build a city with a tower that reached the heavens so that they could make a name for themselves. They had their own plans. They had their own way that they wanted to do things. They were on one of those rafts. They were exerting a lot of their own energy to make things happen. They forgot about God and His way. So what did God do? He confused their language so that they could not understand each other, and they scattered over all the earth. But here at Pentecost, through the power of the Holy Spirit, language did not get in the way. Language did not cause divisions. Pentecost meant that everyone heard the disciples speaking in their own language. This coming of the Holy Spirit was a reversal of what happened at Babel. Instead of being scattered, God's people were brought together from the far corners of the earth to worship God. The Spirit has allowed God's message to be told to people from every place on earth in a way that they could understand. Raising the sails, being filled with the Holy Spirit, means that the church is empowered to bring God's truth to the world. The Holy Spirit fills us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. It gives us the courage to say what we have to say. It gives us the words to say what we have to say. Because look at what immediately happens after this gift of the Holy Spirit is given. Look what happens with Peter. Peter, this guy who was so scared during Jesus' crucifixion that he denied even knowing who Jesus was. This same fearful Peter gets up and he says this to the crowd that is there. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the highest honor in heaven at God's right hand, and the Father, as he has promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out on us, just as you see and hear today. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. And Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God." And then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all of his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. That is a church that has its sails up. That is a church that is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a church that is not afraid to share the truth. A church that is talking with its community. A church that is unified by what Jesus Christ has done for them. Putting your sail up means being willing to go where the wind blows, even if it's not necessarily where you had planned to go. Putting your sail up means quieting your own voice, or should I say, quieting your own motor that tends to drown the voice of God out. It means quieting yourself so you can listen to the Spirit's nudging. Putting your sail up means slowing down so we can clearly be led by the Spirit's voice. The Holy Spirit is sending the church into the world. to tell the world of the hope and the joy that we have because of what Jesus has done for us. The Spirit is sending us to our friends and to our neighbors to tell them of the peace in our hearts that comes from God. The Holy Spirit is sending us into the North Monroe community to tell them about the meaning of life, that it's more than bank accounts, it's more than social status. The Spirit of God is sending us. Is your sail up? Are you filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Monroe Community Church, are we Pentecost people? That is the question for today. Cotter and Gail are going to come up and lead us in our closing responsive prayer. And as we join in this liturgy together, may the Holy Spirit fill our sails once again.
Will you stand and join us? And your words will be on the screen also. The scripture says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come,
and not before, not when we wanted it to come, not when we were ready,
when
the day of Pentecost in God's time had come,
Jesus' followers were gathered, just as we are.
Just as we are. Some happy to be there, some restless and bored, some making plans for the summer, the future, some fearful about tomorrow. Just as we are.
Jesus' followers were gathered, the scripture says, in one place with one accord, meaning focused, all of them, heart and mind on one thing.
A rare moment in any group. And then, a rushing sound.
They felt in themselves and saw in each other fire, a fresh new spirit.
Something they couldn't summon up by themselves. It was too free. Entirely without self-attention.
A spirit that was truly holy.
Hard to imagine us, wholly free of self-attention.
What did these free people say and do? The scripture says that they left their worship warehouse full of power, able and eager to speak to people everywhere.
In schools, hospitals, and grocery stores, in offices and courtrooms, in parks and pubs,
everywhere people are. They were able and eager to speak to every kind of people.
Mechanics and plumbers, teachers and students, doctors, bartenders and store clerks, car salesmen and office managers, the police, parents staying at home, the homeless,
all the kinds of people we are.
Each one of them had a story they couldn't help but tell.
That God is love unending and mercy abounding and forgiveness. For those confessing,
we confess that we're slow to tell anyone this good news. Even our family members, much less our neighbors or strangers.
Why?
We don't want to seem like fanatics, promising news too good to be true, given the odds.
We want to be realistic.
Most of all, we fear we'll have to be the good news we speak. We'll have to fully be friends with the people we speak to, which is time-consuming, energy-draining, and messy.
Then how can we really want to be these Pentecost people, spilling into the streets with the good news that God is utterly for everyone?
It's impossible.
It's beyond us. Yes, it is. But in the fullness of God's time, on people who knew their weakness, but gathered together anyway, wanting more than their weakness.
People just like us.
On them, the Holy Spirit from beyond, holy and free beyond their imagining, fell.
Like them, we can receive power to tell the story we alone can tell. The story of how God's great love through Christ has set us free. Send the power of your Holy Spirit on us here today. Make us your Pentecost people today and tomorrow and every day.